Well, amen. The day is finally here. Pie Fellowship. And it's come down to me to interrupt. I'm the one between now and pie. But I got a bigger crowd on a Sunday night. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. And so I was instructed. I'm not going to say who instructed me. Might have been Bill. But he said, listen, preach till 8:30. So there'll be more pie left over, because no, I'm not going to do that. That'd be 2 hours. I will stop at hour and a half. Ezekiel chapter 3 tonight to get us started. What a thrill it is to be able to be here tonight and be between you and pie. But I do have a message the Lord laid on my heart. The benefit of being in the position that I am is I don't have the burden of, as pastor does, to have the burden to bring the message every week of what God has for the congregation. But really, what the Lord lays on my heart, maybe what's going on in my life, is what I get to. I get to be a utility player and just do whatever. Amen. That's a blessing. Some of y'all don't understand. It is a blessing. It's exciting. I just get to, though it also is a challenge, because you're like, okay, Lord, I can't take pastor's theme. So I've got to, you know, so there's a little bit of burden. But this was something the Lord laid on my heart tonight, and so will. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 16. Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Let's pray together as we get started this evening. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together with your people and your house. And Lord, I pray that you might speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a burden from your word that would stir our life. Lord, that we would really set our foundation on Jesus Christ, that our life would be about living for you. And Lord, tonight I pray that you'd help me to present your message in a way that would draw your people closer to you, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk tonight about the watchman. The Lord here is using a familiar role to illustrate this message to Ezekiel. This illustration was to help them and now to help us to kind of to understand the message. And often the Lord would use these kind of parables or illustrations to help us to kind of get our mind wrapped around something. Aren't you glad God kind of brings it down to our level? It's not meant to be only the most educated and smartest individuals. It's really meant for us, and God wants us to get the message. Amen? He wants us to understand His Word. It's not meant for the elites to have the Bible and everybody else to just listen to them. It's meant for us each to have one. And by the way, if you're here tonight, you ought to have one on your lap with you. Isn't it pretty great that we can? Imagine that you could have this with you, but you don't. You'd say, why not? Well, I got on my phone. All right, okay, fair enough. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing we can carry it around in our pocket on our phone and just, there it is? I mean, what a day we live in. I mean, okay. It's an amazing thing that we have the Bible. I mean, I don't know how many Bibles I have. You know what I'm saying? I've got so many. And then you get another one and I got one that, you know, you feel like you'd need... pulled my shoulder out is what happened, you know, and you got some that little ones we could carry in our pot. What an amazing thing. And so God uses these illustrations to help us to understand what He's trying to get across, the message that He's trying to get across. So what is a watchman? I want us to think about this as we look into this message tonight of the watchman. What is a watchman? Let's start by turning, keep your place there. We're going to get back to there later, but turn over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in chapter 18. 2 Samuel in 18, we're going to go over to verse 24. Begin there. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. So, first of all, a watchman, well, he watches. I've got a deep message for you tonight, all right? The watchman, he keeps watch. That's what he does. He keeps watch, and he keeps an eye on the outside while others are safely enjoying what's on the inside. You see, that's what a watchman does. And so why some folks are inside enjoying something, there's somebody out there watching. The watchman is working to keep people safe. Aren't you glad for that? Listen, it's a wonderful thing to know that the United States military is keeping the battle away from us. Okay, three people. All right. See, sometimes when I don't, maybe y'all different, but I'm just, y'all gonna learn. And so I feel like maybe you didn't get it, because I think the fact is there's people that our United States military is often sent to the other parts of the world so they keep the battle over there so it doesn't come here. That's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing, keeping the battle. There's rarely been an attack on our homeland. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it feels safe to see police patrol cars in an area that's unsettled or in a dangerous environment. So when we first got to Sri Lanka back in, when we brought our family there in 2007, it was still in the middle of a civil war. And, you know, we didn't know anything about that. For most part, we didn't, you know, it wasn't a problem. And so we would, but there was a lot of fellas with automatic weapons standing around the streets all the time. We've never experienced that kind of, you know, I don't know what martial law or whatever it was, but we would go places and they would, I mean, I don't know if they all had bullets or not, but anyway, I didn't want to try and find out. And so we would often get pulled over. And they'd have checkpoints, and they'd pull us over and want to see our papers and, you know, what are we doing here, our passports and so forth. And I thought, man, this is just, we'd have them, sometimes we lived at that time, we were living in the capital, and so we'd have them come down every now and then they would just move to different places. They'd be on our street, standing on our street. You go out there, your kids are playing, there's guys out there with machine guns standing out there in the street. You're like, this is kind of creepy. I'm just, you know. It was really unsettling. And then one day, my wife and girls were out shopping at this store, which they did a lot, looking for clothes. They did that a lot. And there's a lot of places in Sri Lanka to look for clothes because they make a lot of them there. And so they were looking at stores this one day. The next day, literally the next day, we heard on the news there was this deal. There was a suicide bombing at that exact spot. After that, when I seen those guys standing in the road, I thought, I'm glad they're there. You understand? I'm glad because their role was there is to be a watchman and make sure there's nobody trying to hurt you. And so it became something I changed my mind out there. I'm glad they're there because I don't want to get blown up today. Right? Kind of makes sense. So it feels safe when there's somebody there protecting you in an environment maybe that's a little bit dangerous. Likewise, having security around the temple in the Old Testament was a required thing. Even having men appointed and ordained by King David. Appointed men, and it says they were ordained to be in those positions around the gates and so forth. So having watchmen is not only a normal thing, it's a desired thing to have. It's desired to have. We kind of say, well, you know, let's just trust God, and we ought to build our life on Jesus Christ. That He ought to be the foundation of our life. Everything we do ought to come out of, He is the hub, and everything in our life ought to be a spoke that comes out of that. How does that affect? He is there and nothing should get, it's not, listen, he should be the center. And yet we don't have to say we either trust God or have security, right? We don't trust God or have laws, right? We have both. As a matter of fact, God actually appointed these things and did this thing and this. So having, you know, who would not want to have a watchman around? Who wouldn't want to have one around? Well, a criminal. Criminals don't want them around. Matter of fact, criminals like to have a place that has no watchman. You know, it's been a, you know, there's statistics and numbers on it, but putting a sign out in your yard that says you have a security system actually reduces the burglary of that house tremendously. You don't even have to have, just go buy, I should sell signs. I could just, I don't have to do anything, just sell signs. You know, alarms or some kind of thing here, like, I don't want to go there. Anyway, but it does, it's just, listen, people, criminals don't want you to have a watchman there. And also, who else wouldn't want, one that wants harm to come? Or the one is, who is the perpetrator themselves? They don't want us to have a watchman. So what does a watchman do? Well, I mentioned already that he watches, but it's this, he sees the danger coming. That's what a watchman, that's what we find there in 2 Samuel. He was there, he seen the danger coming and dispatches one to intercept and evaluate the danger. Hey, sometimes we see something that looks like danger and it's not danger. And we find that, we can find that in the scriptures. One was coming, and so what's coming? Is he coming alone? We're not going to go all of that tonight. He says, is he coming alone? Then he's a messenger. But if there's two of them, you know, and there was different things. He said, no. And one right, he said, okay, then let him come. And he probably has a message for us, different things. Sometimes security is there and the watchman's there. Did I say security? Did I slip into what I'm really trying to say? Anyhow, okay. What happens is that watchman was there to see what was happening, to warn, right, and to dispatch those to check out that situation and to find out, to evaluate the danger and so forth. When I was in Bible college, I worked for the Pinkerton Security Agency. We had pretty cool uniforms, and we were official. I didn't have a gun, so... Anyway, so I didn't have, it was, anyway. So, you know, one thing they would teach, because when you don't have a gun, security is different. And it is a lot different. And so what they taught us, and I said, because I worked in a high security facility. For most of the part, it was a parking garage. But it was this high, I didn't know what I was thinking. It was right after 9/11. I was in Richmond, Virginia, close to the... And I was, but it was a good job, and it was a high-rise building, and sometimes I'd go through the building, and man, that is creepy, because I would work overnights. At about 2 in the morning, you're walking through a dead silent building, and you're just walking, you're kind of thinking, yeah, nobody's coming, you're just walking along, and all of a sudden, I'm talking about scaring the life out of you, somebody's working late. It's like a ghost or something, it'll scare the life out of you. But back to this parking garage. So I'm there in the parking garage. It was one of these big, you know, kind of things, and I was there. And I asked him, I said, what am I supposed to do if somebody comes in? Because there happened to be down the road, there was bars down the road. So people would park down there, they'd walk down, go to the bar, and they would stumble back. And so things happened. And I asked him, what should I do if somebody comes out here with like a baseball bat and starts beating in car windows? I said, should I go stop him? You know, can I get a stick or something? No. I said, what do I do? He said, you don't interfere. He said, you observe and report. You know, in a lot of this, what the watchman is about is what we see here. He was to observe and see what the problem is, and let's report it to somebody that has a gun. No, I don't know what the situation, or that kind of thing, and deal with that. So it was this thing, and so the watchman... He sees the danger coming. The watchman warns those that are dwelling in peace that there is a coming danger that they're not aware of. Right? They're not aware of it. They don't see that danger. And so there's somebody watching so they can... Isn't it good to live in peace? Peace is sweet. I'm thinking about, you know, in America, We lose interest. Like Ukraine, remember that? Remember that war that was going on over there? Remember that? Still going on. Well, there's other stuff in the news now, so it's... Imagine they were living just like you and I are, and pretty normal life, and then the next day, every day, they're living in fear because peace is gone. So it's a wonderful thing living in peace. And some sit in their supposed peace, and they do not know of the coming dangers. They can and are often caught unaware. So the watchman is the one to intercede, to keep those unaware from danger. And that's the purpose of the watchman. Now back to this illustration. Go back with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. I want us to see, we see what the real watchman is about. And now God is using that position of watchman to be an illustration to help Ezekiel understand something. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to take that real position that was happening there and use it in a way to give us another spiritual truth here. If the lights go off, they'll come back on. I've got my notes on a tablet, so I'll still see them. All right? So just hang tight. So again, we're in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." So in the same position is this watchman. Now he's a watchman. He's given him and say, "You're the watchman over the house of Israel, over my people." He said, the message that God gave to Ezekiel was to hear the word of God and give the warning to the people. He said, "I want you to hear it, all right? I want you to hear what I'm telling you from this thing, from this book. I want you to hear it, and I want you to give the warning of it to my people." So this is, he said, you're the watchman for them. You're the ones that are gonna be there. The watchman is to be in the position to watch. You understand? He's to see what's going on. In this case, it's to hear and to know the word of the Lord. So, I would say tonight, this is a good place for the watchman to be in here tonight, to come in here to hear the word of the Lord, to hear some truth, to hear from the word of God. What does God have to say? And this is a good place to get that. It's a good place to come. And you know what, though, the thing is, can I just say this to you tonight? And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be harsh. But you should have one of these with you. If you don't have one, come find me. I'll get you one. You could borrow one from the thing in front of you there. There's place. If you don't, but you ought to have one, because the Lord said, "Listen, hear the message from the word of the Lord." You know, you're going to hear us preachers preaching up here, but we tell you verses so you know that it's not from us. It's from Him. It's His message. And He said, "So what is the watchman then to do with that information? What do they do with it?" Well, He's to warn them. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." So, what good is a watchman that sees danger coming but doesn't warn those that need it? Well, why are you even up there on the wall? Whoo! There's trouble coming. What good is a watchman that sees the danger but doesn't warn those who need it? I would say the wicked, those that are living without Christ, need to be warned of the consequences of their sin. It's a little tough, isn't it? It's tough telling people they're wrong. And Pastor dealt with that very well this morning. It's tough telling people they're wrong. It's tough telling people, hey, the stuff that you think is okay in your life, it's not. God says that God says if you don't turn from that, you're going to spend forever separated from Him in a place called hell. In our day and age, that sounds kind of extreme, right? I mean, it almost sounds like an extreme Christian. And we ought to warn people about those kind of people, right? So what I'm saying to you tonight is if we see danger and we know about the danger, and yet we don't warn somebody that needs the danger, what kind of watchman, sees danger coming and doesn't report on it? What kind of person sees someone speeding up to a cliff and doesn't cry out to warn them? Hey, you're at the end of the road, right? There's a warning. Could you imagine just seeing that you're out taking a hike, maybe, and you're out there and somebody is on a dirt bike flying up and you just... wouldn't you just scream and cry out to him with all that you had? Stop, right? You know, somebody that would see the danger and say nothing, I'd call that a wicked person. Maybe a coward. I'm not sure how to categorize that, how to fall out on that thing. There's a lot of adjectives we'd like to put on that person. Except for I don't want to do too many because sometimes that person is, you understand? So we actually kind of want to take it easy because sometimes I'm the one that... I'm not sure how the situation in Uvalde, Texas is going to finally turn out. You know, that shooting at the school down there, I'm sure we're all familiar with it by now. But as of now, the information that I've read and found out is that there was a hallway full of officers with rifles and shields within 3 minutes of the perpetrator entering the building. 3 minutes after he got into the building, police were in there with rifles and body armor and so forth. But instead of going in and stopping the massacre, we call it, they waited for almost an hour and a half. It's kind of unfathomable now, isn't it? When you think about it, they were outside. And during that time, and I don't want to relive the whole thing, but during that time there was quite a few 911 calls of people inside saying we're still alive. There's people. Somebody's shot. Somebody's... There's a lot of parents that are wishing that they'd have had, that those fellows would have been better watchmen. The Lord said that the wicked that was not warned nor told of the coming judgment so that they might be saved. So listen, the wicked that wasn't told of the judgment, he said they were going to die. They were going to die in their iniquity. That was going to happen. They weren't told. They're going to die and they're going to be separated from God forever. But the blood would be upon the head of the watchman for failing to do what he was called to do. When it says he shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thine hand. Can I be honest with you? I don't really know what that means. Honestly, what does it mean when somebody that you were to be a watchman for, that God had put in your life to share Jesus Christ with, and you didn't? He's given the illustration. He's using this idea of a watchman, of you were to be their watch. He said, and when you didn't, he said, either way, if without Christ, they are going to perish. You understand? Because you failed doesn't mean they get a free pass. He said, when we fail to do our part, he said, they're gonna still perish. He said, but I'm gonna require it of you. I don't know what that means exactly. But I promise you this, it ain't good. I don't want God to require stuff, other people's blood at mine. I just don't want that. I don't know what that means exactly. I know I don't want it. It makes sense? It ain't a good thing. I'm not going to try to pretend that I could figure all that out for you. I'm going to just say this. I don't want something. I don't want that situation to be upon me and that kind of situation. The watchman isn't responsible for the saving. Look with me in verse 19. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So can I just say to you tonight is this, the watchman warns. The watchman warns. That is what God said right here. You warn them. They're not always going to turn from it. The sinner has his own choice to follow. I've said it from here before. I wish we had a salvation stick. We could crack somebody in the head and they'd be saved. I've been going around doing a lot of head cracking. You know what I'm saying? Saved. I wish it worked like that. I wish I had more control over people getting saved. Man, I wish I did. I mean, I wish they issued that at missionary school. Here's your salvation stick. Go crack some heads. Man, that'd be awesome. It doesn't work like that. Because pastors say, can I just go to missionary school for a little bit, get one of those? You know, anyhow. The sinner has his own choice. God is for you to make a choice for yourself. But let me just say this, and this is where I never feel like it's your job to seal the deal. It's not your job to save the world. You see, you're a watchman for whoever God puts in your way, and you warn them of the danger to come, but we can't make people, why do some people get warned to do nothing about it? Hey, there's a fire. Yeah, it'll be all right. Hey, there's trouble coming. Nah, a lot of people, they do that kind of thing. They don't want to listen in general life, and they certainly don't want to listen when I'm telling you, you need to quit doing what you're doing and instead do what God says. Folks are like, nah, I like doing what I'm doing. I want to keep living my promiscuous life and I'll just take care of the consequences down at the clinic down the road, right? And don't tell me I can't. Matter of fact, you'll never see people so angry. But when you tell them you gotta quit doing your sin, they get so angry. Why would people burn down buildings, graffiti? Why would they be so much hate? And can you imagine holding up a sign that says, I mean, it doesn't exactly say this, but what they're saying, angrily having a sign saying, I want the permission to murder. Yeah. And, you know, I know a lot of people like to have causes. I'm telling you, folks, I don't, it's satanic. It's satanic. There's no logical reason. I don't think most people really want to go through with this kind of thing. I don't think most ladies want to go through with abortion. I really don't. I've seen women that have. I've seen it up close. They don't want to do it. I'm telling you, they don't want to do it. Nobody wants to snuff out life from their own body. Walk out afterwards and say, man, something, I can feel something's gone. And the burning in their heart that never goes away of guilt and shame. And so some repent towards God and say, God, I was wrong. I did that thing wrong. And God forgives them. And they can live a glory-filled, righteous life in a good relationship with God when they repent of that. It's like, God, I was wrong on that thing. But others, in a way to quench that fire of shame and guilt, they say, it's not wrong at all. And they live with it and they get angry. But that's just what's happening now with them. Imagine, here I'm preaching this to a crowd, to a congregation, and you're like, yeah. Amen, the watchman, that's good. But if I went over down there, walked down into your face and said, hey, that person that's next door to you or that's in your family, have you shared the gospel with them? Well, you know, I've just tried. Are you the watchman or not? You probably, if we'd be fair, to be honest tonight, you'd probably get a little mad at me for telling you you ought to do that, right? I can remember when my wife told me when we got married and we got back to the States and we're there and my wife said, you need to tell your mom about getting saved. I said, no, somebody else will tell her. You know, I kind of pushed, I'm like, and she kept telling me, I'm like, well, leave me alone about it already, right? Leave me alone, quit nagging me, woman. You know, no, I didn't say it, but I probably did say something like that. I probably did. I was like, leave me alone. Isn't it funny how we'll get angry about that? Well, then I got saved. About a week later, I was in there telling my mom about how to be saved. So maybe the reason that you're not a watchman is because you're not a watchman. God has given instruction to the watchman, verse 17. He said, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. And give them warning from me. He just says this. He said, first hear the word. Then give the warning from God. We're not to give our own warning. In other words, it's not our own way, our own idea. Hey, that's bad because, as Pastor mentioned this morning, it's not good law. We don't convince people of right by jurisprudence, you know what I'm saying? We're not trying to find law to tell people why. You should not do that because you're going to get in trouble. That's not what God is talking about by being watchman, but it's a little bit, it kind of takes the edge off, right, when we do it that way. Folks are like, man, I thought we was coming for pie. I know, you know, when I'm down there and pastor's up here, I'm the same way. You know, man, I don't know if I'm going to eat pie after that beating. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just telling you, God lays on my heart, and sorry, you get it. We're not to give our own warning, our own way. Listen, don't think you're helping people. Well, at least they go to church somewhere. That's a bunch of hogwash, folks. Well, at least they go somewhere and they say God stuff. They got crosses in their house. So, oh, man, folks, I'm telling you, and I'm not saying, well, if they're not here, they ain't saying. That's not what I'm saying tonight. I'm just saying this. Listen, if God has called you to warn somebody, then just warn them. They'd be all right if they heard the gospel twice. Right? Well, you know, I think they're already saved, and if I share the gospel with them, they're going to be offended. So? Imagine being that watchman up here, and there's like trouble coming. You're like, oh, they probably already know. Yeah, but you're the only one who sees it. Do you know how many people have knocked on my door and shared the gospel with me in my whole life? I've lived in the South. I've lived in the Midwest. I've lived in the South again, and now up here in Pennsylvania. I've never had anybody knock on my door and share the gospel with me. Never. I went until I was 22 years old before I ever heard the gospel the first time. So what I'm saying to you, there ain't so many watchmen that somebody else has got them already. That's my point tonight. It's not like somebody else already. Yeah, somebody else got them. Somebody else will get to them. Yeah, that somebody else is you. We're to give God's warning. It is only then that we shall deliver our own soul from this responsibility. I know it's kind of weird here. I don't know. Sometimes as preachers, we're just stuck to with what the Bible has to say. We'd like to say it different because it would make a better message. But we're kind of stuck with this. But he said, listen, when you tell them, when you warn them, you deliver your own soul. So that's so selfish. That's just what God says. He says, when you do that, you deliver your... He said, listen, you've done your job, is in other words. You've done, and so you don't have that blood on your hands. And I'll tell you from experience, it doesn't make you feel any better when they still say no. Well, at least I don't have to deal with it. No, that's not the spirit. It can almost read like that, but I'm telling you, it doesn't feel like that. When you share... I tell you, every person I share the gospel with, when they say, no, I don't want to do that, I'm going to tell you what, it hurts me just the same. I've never learned how to get over that. And I don't think it's something that we learn how to. If you can get over it, maybe you ain't a watchman. Again, that's what he says. He says, that's doing our job. And so I want to just give us this challenge tonight. And we're done. Three more pages. No, I'm kidding. So here's the question. Are you a watchman? Who has been given this ministry of a watchman? Turn with me. You can lose your place there. We're going to turn over to 1 Peter. We're going to turn all the way back there to 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 4. And we're asking the question this. Who has been given this ministry of being a watchman? 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 10. And he says it this way. He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So here's the thing. Who's a watchman? Only those that have received the grace of God. That's it. Very limited supply of watchmen. Only those that have received the grace of God. So if tonight you're in this building and you're saved, or if you're watching and you're saved, you also stand on the wall of faith and have become a watchman to the next wandering sinner. I'm just saying, here's what happens. You get saved, and, you know, like somebody's up there on the wall of faith and they're warning you and you get saved, you take up the next position on the wall. Well, don't they have to have some formal training? No. Here's what he says, and again, I don't give you my thoughts. Well, you know, after, you know, 4.5 years of Bible college, 6 years of training, then you can go and win somebody to Christ, right? No, he said it this way. If you've received the gift, it's yours to give to others, the grace of God. So you take your place on that on the wall of faith. So here's the challenge is this. Will you give the warning to those that come by your side of the wall? I don't know if the wall is on the inside and they're trying to attack, or we're on the outside and they're trying to get out. I don't know which way it goes. Maybe we could extrapolate it that either way. But I'm just saying this. We're on this wall of faith, and certain people are going to come to your section of the wall that will not come to mine. It will not come to someone else. They're only coming to your life, and God has appointed you to be the watchman for that individual. In some sense, I guess we say like this, it's one job. One job. That's it. on my chunk of wall, right? I'm the watchman of this. Whoever God sends, by the way, I've seen folks that are just faithful at it. You know, we talk about some people are good soul winners. I don't really think that's the case. I think some just do it. Some just do it and some don't. And when you do it, God will say, hey, you know what? Over there, that portion of the wall, they're just not, they won't do it. They will let people go off into hell. So I'm going to kind of steer them over here. And listen, it's your one job in this world is to point, whether it's your children, your husband, your wife, your parents, your grandparents, whoever it is. Maybe it starts with just your family. Not maybe, it does start right there. And it goes out from there. Maybe it's others in the community, your neighbors and so forth. But it's your one job. It's where we start. Nothing else will matter in this life like doing your job as a watchman. And I know it's Old Testament, but he's given the illustration. He said there's going to come a day of reckoning with what you did in your area. I don't think any of us are going to say, you know, I have been perfect. None of us are sitting here. I'm not, pastor's not, nobody's in this room saying, well, you know, I have not missed one. But I'm telling you, there seems to be, and the Word of God talks about, there's going to come in the next life, there's going to be some reckoning. And I'm not trying to, well, how is that all going to work out? Well, we'll see. We'll see. Well, I'm going to see. Hope most of y'all see, get to be there. Amen. I think y'all are. I mean, I don't know. It's between you and the Lord. Nothing else is going to matter. So here I'm going to end with this. I got three sentences here. And that's maybe all I'm going to say. What headline would be in the news of your life? Would it be man or woman saves citizen from death by warning them of impending danger? Isn't that good? That's me. That was you. Wouldn't that be good? Okay, there's a few more sentences. I knew it. Second one. Or would it be this? Man or woman stands silently while neighbor plunges to their death. I hate to just end that somber and serious, but it is.